Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Happy Party Friday here. Chuck and Julie, Truth Straight Up. You can find us always at chuckandjulie.com. Reminder to folks who maybe have been wondering if they usually watch us on YouTube where we are. YouTube has banned us for a week. We are put in YouTube jail for having the audacity to put out the misinformation that 12-year-olds don't need to wear masks, even though the Colorado Health Department says they don't need to wear masks. So we're banned for a week. I think we'll be back up on Tuesday. But in the meantime, you can get all the shows at chuckandjulie.com and on Rumble, on BBS, all the other usual places, and on Podbean, too, will be on all the podcasts. Chuck is busy helping in, you know, we've talked about his merry band, roaming the state, trying to convince people to liberate the Colorado Republican Party from the open primary. So he's tied up with activities there today. And we are pleased to have the guest co-hosting with me, Mark Poff. He's one of our favorite guests, one of our listeners' favorite guests, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator. He may just be entering the podcast world himself. He's going to be filling in for us on Monday. But Mark, hey, welcome and thank you for all your help.
Oh, you bet. I'm glad to be here. And now I can actually get a little political, right?
Exactly.
As opposed to when I came on the show as a guest talking about different law enforcement stuff, I felt kind of obligated to stick to the mission, so to speak. But I love, we'll see how things go today on Crazy Friday, Hawaiian Friday, and I can get political.
So what you're saying is you're going to be unleashed, basically. You're unleashed now.
Well, hopefully I won't get you in some other kind of ban.
Hey, and this
I gave up masks about a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. Sandra's saying she's happy you're co-host or guest hosting Monday. She really likes Mark. Well, let's bring in Michael Tao. And let me introduce him. Michael Tao, investigative columnist, also one of our favorite guests. He has a new column up in Revolver.News. Michael, it's kind of funny. On the show just a few days ago, one of our listeners was saying, where's Michael Tao? She's like, I'm worried about him. We haven't seen him for a while. And I said, well, he's working on something really big. And boy, you weren't kidding. Michael has a three-part series up, and I encourage everybody to go read it for yourself at Revolver.News, exposing the media's plot to hide vaccine deaths and deceive Americans. It's worse than you thought. Michael, welcome once again. Appreciate your
Thanks.
Time.
Can you hear me? Have everything set up? Oh, amazing.
It's amazing. Well, Mark and I were talking about the show previously, and Mark, you know, you wanted to get political with a bang, so I'm going to let you ask Michael the first question here, okay?
Well, the thing that, you know, everyone's talking about getting to herd immunity and that the big thing is to get to herd immunity. And I keep thinking, to me, the big thing is availability of vaccines to those who want it. And then set a date when everybody has an opportunity, those who want to get vaccinated have an opportunity, and then just completely knock it off with this lockdown. And then, you know, if people decide for themselves that they want to have a vaccine, you know, more power to them. If they don't, more power to them. Everyone should have the option. But at a certain date, we need to just open back up and then let everything go the way that, you know, it's going to go.
I mean, that would be certainly better than what we're doing. But I think it needs to go way further than that. Yeah. The death stats are cooked. They're totally cooked. They're intentionally inflated. So at the very beginning, such is the level of the gaslighting we've been subjected to that Birx and Fauci both bragged about conflating dying with the virus and dying from the virus. They both got up on the stage and they bragged about the fact that anyone who's dying after being diagnosed with COVID will be put on the death list. So we know they're as good as their word, because people with motorcycle accidents who died in motorcycle accidents were on the list. Gunshot victims were on the list. We also know that the case numbers were fabricated. They were fabricated in two ways. One was, we were presented with these rising cases in March. There's getting to be more and more cases. But they didn't tell us they were given more and more tests every day, which means the more and more cases are meaningless. So if I go out today and I survey 100 people and I find 10 left-handed people, and tomorrow I survey 1,000 and I find 100 left-handed people, if I tell you left-handedness is on the rise, I'm lying. I've surveyed more people. That's why I got. So that's what they did with the case numbers. The second way the case numbers are fabricated is the PCR test. Never in history has have PCR tests been used to diagnose infection. Never. In the article, I quote from I give a link and I quote from a research paper that's pointed this out that came out last year. Prior to this, because PCR testing is garbage, it's well over 90% of the time, especially this PCR test, which 20 serious scientists have demanded that the paper validating it be retracted. There's so much scientific fraud in the initial PCR test, including the ex-vice president of research at Pfizer. But even in general, even forgetting how fraudulent this test is, PCR testing does not test for infection. It tests for fragments of the dead virus, little pieces that are alleged to be unique to it, which these aren't even unique.
They're not even unique to it, right? Yeah.
But let's not worry about that. It's alleged, suppose it is unique. Then what it does is the PCR process amplifies the number in there till they're detectable. The CDC recommends 40 amplification cycles, each doubling, which amplifies the amount a trillion times. Their own research shows after 33 times, a positive diagnosis basically never means infection, never means infection at all. So well over 90% of the tests, positive test results, are either from people, the CDC's research also says that the fragments can stay in your system up to 12 weeks after symptom onset, but the virus is cleared after 3 weeks. So well over 90% of the people tested either beat the infection before the test or they were never infected. There was a little piece on some sandwich they ate among the billions and trillions of microbes on the sandwich, or it was in the air they were breathing. So the case numbers and the death numbers have been inflated. Anthony Fauci, I have this in the article, today's article too. Everyone needs to know this, and we need to demand that he be prosecuted for this. He perjured himself on March 11th. He got in front of Congress and he said, COVID-19 is at least 10 times more lethal than the flu. Flashback, 11 days, he published a paper to his peers who weren't going to be taken in by this nonsense. So let me explain what he did. Him and the media, and he and Redfield know this. Anyone who knows this stuff can't be unaware of this. They used death certificates, death rates taken among confirmed cases when only the most severe people were getting tested. So they took the rate that the most severe people who were getting tested at the time had of dying, and they palmed that off on the people, Tedros
in general, right?
As the rate a random person would have of dying, which is nonsense. So Fauci does that on March 11th. 11 days earlier, on February 28th, he published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine where he explained why that's a fallacy.
Right.
I have it posted on the article. He explains why, and he says COVID-19 will probably turn out to be no more deadly than a severe seasonal flu. That's what he said 11 days before he perjured himself before Congress, and that's what pushed us into lockdown. He said 10 times more lethal than the flu. Hundreds of media headlines, which I'm sure were prepared in advance, but it doesn't even matter. Hundreds of media headlines all over the place. Within weeks, we're locked down. So right. The lockdowns were another factor. Who in 2019 advised against even quarantining people who are exposed to a virus because there's no evidence it works? Right. There was never any idea. I mean, this is the level of gaslighting, too. Quarantining healthy people. It's never been done in history. And they convinced us somehow that this is a good idea. They ignored. I mean, it's criminal. They need to hang. And I'm not being at all exaggerating. They ignored and they got us to ignore. The problem with this is we're going to have to take responsibility, too. And people are going to have maybe a problem doing that. But people don't want to admit that when they've been very badly suckered, but they got us to ignore what they definitely knew, that if you stop treating and diagnosing cancer, that's going to have a death toll. You take the trust in people struggling with drug addiction and you cruelly isolate them, That's going to have a death toll. They created a death toll for the virus. And again, they must have known this. So there's a volume of research well established that fear and isolation destroy the immune system, have a lousy effect on the immune system, and the will to live.
So what did they lock down
the nursing homes, right? They scare the crap. They deny these people any company, any companionship, people, frail elderly people. They scare. All they left them with was the TV scaring them 24/7 about the virus that was wiping out humanity. The staff members are coming in masks and gloves all of a sudden, so that even that's kind of not human companionship. It's frightening. In five Democratic-controlled states, the governor forced patients with symptoms of some disease, whether it's COVID-19 or not, into those environments, locked down. Windows are closed. They're all breathing the same recirculated air. So they know, yeah, a lot of old people are going to die, and they're going to blame it on
people. Let me interrupt you, too, because to get to the point two of your new article or your new series, and that is they haven't stopped lying to us. They haven't stopped covering the facts. Now they're trying to shove everybody from, like, you know, NBA superstars, golf pros, media celebrities. Everybody's telling us, oh, we have to get vaccinated. But talk about your article. I mean, there are a lot of, and I guarantee you, if YouTube knew we were going to about to talk about this, we would be banned again, right? But we can't do this. But talk about the VAERS system, if that's how you pronounce it, and what we're seeing in terms of reactions to this vaccine that's really not a vaccine that they're trying to shove down all our throats and jab in our arms.
So yeah, it's VAERS, it's V-A-E-R-S, it stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So it's described by the CDC as the nation's frontline system for detecting side effects in viruses. It's the frontline system.
In vaccines.
So of course, in 2010, a bunch of researchers for heart, so it's voluntary and nobody knows about it, right? So how can this system even be a good system? Even the CDC's own research showed that 30% of medical personnel had never heard of it. And of those who had, over 80% who'd come across a potential vaccine side effect didn't bother using it because it's too much of a pain. So they made no effort to publicize the nation's frontline detection system. In 2010, a group of Harvard med school researchers were paid $1 million by the government to come up with a better system and evaluate it. They found that VAERS is detecting 1% of potential vaccine side effects. They came up with a better system, and then you read their report, they were ghosted by the CDC. They said, well, we couldn't test it against VAERS because the CDC refused to take our calls. I'm serious.
Well, we don't want to know the truth. I mean, we're in cahoots with the pharmaceutical companies.
They want a system that isn't counting it. But even with that system, the COVID vaccines in 5.5 months have gotten more reports of death than all 55 other vaccines combined over the last 28 years. And don't think it's because, oh, so many have been given out. More flu vaccines were given out just last season alone than COVID so far. Now, it's possible. I'm not saying, and Tucker Carlson didn't say, Alec, the people who've been silenced over this, Alex Berenson, they're not saying this definitely means that the vaccines are deadly. It may be some artifact of the reporting system. Until somebody looks into it, we don't know. But what the media is telling you is, like, I have the chart in the article, and of the 4,500 deaths in 5.5 months from the COVID virus,
and the
200 deaths in a year. Only one time did they exceed 200 deaths in a year reports, right? They're trying to say, there's nothing to see here. There's nothing that needs to be explaining. Anyone who tried, right-wing extremists. That's what the New York Times calls anyone who brings the data. Imbeciles to get them to not pay attention, not notice what they're not supposed to notice. So that's frightening. There have been the same number of reports of people who had life-threatening illness, 45,000. They never barely got over 300 in a year before. Right. Overall, the number of reports. There's probably more, right? Because Alex Berenson points out that when a system is getting more reports in a week than it used to get in a year, which is what's happening now, it's being published.
Right.
There's got to be backlog. I go through the data and I show you that, yeah, I took a screenshot on May 12th and another one on May 28th. And they filled in May reports from January, February, March, from December, even every previous month. And it's possible people are waiting like a really long time because the 90% of the symptoms that are reported for COVID have occurred within 15 days of onset. That's available in the database. So people would have to be waiting a long time to be filling in data from months back in May. I think it's unlikely. And there's other evidence.
Well, let me then, and then Mark, you can come in and
discuss it. We have no idea how many people really died.
Right. And let me, so to clarify, Michael, let me interrupt you just for a second, just to clarify for folks. So what the actual, and this is the government's facts. This isn't you're making up or anything. These are the government's facts. So there's this, it's a vaccine adverse effect reporting system. And in the 5.5 months that the COVID vaccine has been given out, it has had more adverse effects reported.
More deaths
than all 55 vaccines in 28 years. And like you said, we don't know what the deal is, but we are being prohibited from even asking the question. If you even ask the question, YouTube, Facebook, all of these mega companies that have profited off of it and are profiting off of the vaccine, they squash and put you down.
LifeSite News was banned for bringing the data. And that makes you think there's something to that. I mean, like you try to be reasonable and say, who knows? It could be like a. So one doctor says it's incredible the nonsense they throw at people. He says, well, there's more awareness of this vaccine and the disease, right? As if that explains it. That may explain it. But on the other hand, the reprehensible attempts to silence anybody who says anything less than the COVID vaccine is as safe as an essential as breathing oxygen, that may be suppressing reports. Who knows until we actually look into it.
Well, I mean, but why would you not want to ask the question? You have to be able to ask a question. And if you said what we've seen now and in some of these Fauci emails all along, they've lied to us. They deliberately lied to us. And Mike, I know you and I were talking and you said, I mean, you compared Fauci to like a war criminal. I mean, I think you're totally, yes. Mark. Yeah.
Bingo. Another guy, Reiner Fulmich, who's a trial attorney licensed, a big trial attorney. He's taken on huge companies in Germany and in the United States. He's been totally censored. His videos are off YouTube. You can find him on BitChute. He's got a group of lawyers in Germany, and they're distributing information pro bono to help people who've been affected by lockdowns sue. They're not letting this information get out because of the fraudulent PCR tests that lockdowns were based on. He called it lockdowns possibly the greatest crime against humanity in history. And there's no question it was. The thing is, we're like the Germans now in World War II. We have to say, we were part of this. Every one of us let our old folks' homes be turned into death camps. That's literally what we did. Let depressed and suicidal and drug addicted people struggling with life be lonely. Let small business owners have their lives destroyed while major corporations with no allegiance to the American people made a profit and suppressed the tens of thousands. So there's a Nobel Prize winning biophysicist from the beginning. He's been saying lockdowns are mass suicide. Tens of thousands of doctors and scientists, way more esteemed than Fauci, who spent his entire career in a bureaucracy, have been trying to warn us, and they've been silenced since the beginning.
And you're right. Well, Mark, let me interrupt
you. We all have to admit, we sat on our butts and didn't do enough to find out what was happening and to say, no, you're not going to, like, kill my mother.
Yeah, let me interrupt you a second and let Mark weigh in a second. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, always the biggest issue is we can't trust our government. You know, we can't trust, you know, if we're looking at these numbers every day of people that are vaccinated or the numbers of people that have COVID, I know the COVID numbers are bogus because I got buddies of mine who are cops that were being tested numerous times. And I know they actually told them, said, hey, you tested positive or negative, but we're just going to put you down as a positive because you have a symptom. So I know they've been fudging the numbers, but what's Fauci's role in all this? Because it sounds like, if you don't mind talking about the fact that, you know, it appears that Fauci was in on this gain of function research in Wuhan, and now it's coming back around.
I'm trying to write something on that. Now, the gain of function research is a trap for us. So the virus isn't deadly. That's the thing. Everyone needs to keep repeating themselves because they're being brainwashed into forgetting that it's not deadly. Currently, according to the CDC's flagrantly cooked books, people under 19 have a 0.0002 chance of dying. That's zero. So everybody needs to listen to this. You need to, and I'm not kidding, repeat to yourself, the virus isn't deadly. The virus isn't deadly because you're being brainwashed. So people also need to ask, why are they suddenly telling me stuff about this gain of function research when they spent years suppressing it? Like, what's the, it's the same thing, Cuomo's sexual assault accusations, right? Nobody said, why are all these Democrat operatives suddenly coming out of the woodwork to accuse Cuomo? Why is the media playing up? Because the nursing home scandal was about to become a huge deal, and they managed to bury that and save the other governors as well. Same thing here. When your enemies tell you something you don't want to hear, you should be suspicious. When they tell you something you do want to hear, you need to say wait and not get invested in and figuring out what they're diverting from, because that's the only thing that could possibly be happening. So the game implicating Fauci in the gain of function research, the intent here. So I hate Fauci, and I do. So I hear he helped make the virus. If I really want to blame him, and I do, that's a psychological factor they're taking advantage of. I got to now think it's deadly. Right? I can't blame him for anything, right? So who Chinese invented a man-made non-deadly virus to piggyback their hoax on? Maybe they didn't. It's irrelevant. It's totally uninteresting. The labs that need to be identified are the Chinese labs that claim to isolate the virus, which didn't, if you read the papers, and the German lab, which developed the fraudulent PCR test in conjunction with them before it had been isolated. These guys are developing a test for it, and it was never isolated, but even before they claimed to isolate it. So the whole thing is a diversion to get us to not realize that lockdowns were the weapon. That was the weapon, not any virus. The virus does exist. It doesn't exist. It was man-made. It was invented by a genie with magical powers. It makes no difference. It's not deadly. Chinese military strategists, top Chinese military strategists, published a book, I think, in 1999, or wrote a book called Unrestricted Warfare, which the CIA translated. You can find it online. They explicitly say the information age has allowed a new concept of weapon. That's what they called. They say we cannot defeat the United States with conventional weapons, but this new concept of weapon, which can be a rumor on the internet, can defeat them. And they say with this new concept of weapon, you get the enemy to do what you want, not by force, but by convincing them it's in their own interest.
Manipulation. Well, see,
China didn't lock down. So even the highest estimates you can find, it's very hard to find out how much they claim the lockdown, because they're the only country that did it so haphazardly that you can't even sort it out. The worst estimates I've been able to find are 35% of the country was locked down. I can show you videos of that are, and the translation is verified by a professor of Chinese studies in the United States, of Chinese vice president touring a lockdown compound and people from the windows going, it's fake. It's fake. The whole thing is
false. Well, I think you're, Michael, let me interrupt you again, because I think you're right. I think that the reason this is all coming out now, it's exactly like you say, I believe it's a diversion. And I think you're right. Part of the diversion, or one of the things, and the conservative treehouse guys, Technofog and those guys talk about this, I think, is they wanted the lockdown help the Democrats, a number of things. It helped the Democrats.
Yeah, that's where conservative treehouse goes wrong. It's not about getting Trump. It was about it's like, people are getting their heads bashed in and people are going, that was to get Trump. People are getting their parents killed and they're driven to suicide and their business is destroyed. And people are, everything's about Trump. I'm fed up with the conservative side with this too.
It wasn't about Trump necessarily. I think it was about mail-in balloting and destroying the economy. I mean, there was a whole bunch of things going on.
They did cripple us more than any military attack since probably the Civil War. We've had didn't have so much damage.
Do you think it's China? You think that China is kind of in the end?
I can prove it. I have old articles. So the idea that China tried to cover up the virus, I have an old article, Red State, called Investigate Lockdown, Say These People or something. The idea that China tried to cover up the virus, you know where that traces back to? Official Chinese Communist Party meeting.
That's right.
That's where that party started. That story started about the cover-up. They started that in February 27th. There is no evidence until the official Chinese, the Beijing Youth Daily. It's one of the oldest official Communist Party publications in China. They started the story on February 27th of this phony, non-existent whistleblower, Li Wenliang. On January 1st, when there were less than 50 cases of this new disease and no one had died, the official Communist Party English language,
yeah,
repeat that, English language publication was hyping the virus, right? They were hyping it from the beginning. Then they created this fake, the fake cover up is like the whoop to that woman who was claiming it's that Chinese woman who was like going on TV and claiming it was man-made virus. She's a CCP agent. If you look at her interviews, all she ever does is talk about how the virus is deadly. She never explains why it's supposed to be man-made. She says, oh, it's a Frankenstein virus. Like she used these crazy metaphors to make us think it's
well, deadly. And I think
it's frustrating. It's provable. Like if you spend a week,
I know you're. I know because we're going to have you back on Wednesday because there's so much there. But I think you're right because we only have a couple more minutes with you. Then we got to go to our next guest. But I think you're right in that it is incumbent on all of us now to say, okay, we were duped. We were fooled. We went along with it. We should have from the very beginning. You know, and you're right. Trump should have at the very beginning. And I think the thing that everybody needs to do now is to just say, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. I mean, that's what we're like. You know what?
We got to admit that people suffered horrifically and died because of our, that's the hard part. They've made us complicit in all this. Every one of us, when we face God, is going to have a rough time for this. I guarantee it. But every single one of us, nobody went into those nursing homes and said, we're not going to let you. Have you seen the videos online of these people?
There's an article
by a woman in American Greatness whose mother was consigned to one of these death camps when they locked them down. She says she couldn't visit her and wave through the window because the attendant told her that residents, when that happened, they tried to escape.
Yeah.
They tried to break out.
I had relatives and stuff too. Hey, listen, we got to let you go.
Thanks for having me.
No, hey, nice you're wonderful. We'll back on Wednesday. All right, Michael, tell everybody okay, go thanks. Read. Thank you. Go read his series, Exposing the Media's Plot to Hide Vaccine Deaths and Deceive Americans. You know, Mark, you could go. I mean, Michael, I just like to let him talk because he has all of this stuff in his head. I will say I'm not entirely sure that I agree with him that it wasn't about Trump. And I see that some of the listeners are saying the same thing. I think it was more than about Trump. I think that it was about covering up what Fauci and the health guys were doing. It was about getting mail-in ballots. It was about Amazon making tons of money. I mean, I think there are a lot of interests at work here. What do you think?
Well, we don't need to say that there was only one conspiracy.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
There were multiple, you know, because they're all taking advantage of the situation. You know, Fauci's got to cover his butt because, you know, it sounds like he's kind of hanging out a little bit. I think from what I see, I mean, my call, Trump was heading for re-election. I mean, he was, the economy was doing great. Everything was doing wonderful. Whether the Chinese did this on purpose or accident or whatever, I think you definitely had a lot of individuals that were taking political advantage of the situation that, you know, whether it was man-made or whatever, really doesn't matter. And the problem for us as citizens, if you want, I hate to even use that word anymore, is we can't trust our government.
Right.
You know, the old phrase, you know, here, I'm here from the government. I'm here to help.
Right.
You can't trust anything. You can't trust the numbers. You can't trust the science because the science constantly changes. And I definitely agree with some of the things that he's saying about the fact that the lockdowns caused more harm.
Right.
And
and it played into China's hands too, you know, and I think this let me read some of the comments. This is from the other Mark. I believe that a lot of doctors knew this was wrong, or they should have known it was wrong, and they should be prosecuted because they did nothing. They just lived in fear of losing their medical licenses. Exactly. And yeah, other people are saying they don't trust the government either. And then Sandra points us out regarding the vaccines. You know, Polis, they're doing the $1 million lottery, not working. Nobody's signing up. They're trying to get kids to take it. Nobody's signing up. It's our tax money he's giving away. It's insane.
It's driving me crazy at this point because I get that. And see, I'm kind of almost a libertarian from the standpoint. It's your body. You do what you want with it. Whether you want to take the vaccine or not, I don't want to make a big, that's an individual decision.
Right.
But to me, the lockdowns have to completely end. You need to set a date. For me, it was Memorial Day.
Yeah, that's right. You had your vaccine or your COVID lockdown. I'm over at Mask Freedom Day.
I'm done. I don't care. They're like saying, well, if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. But if you haven't been vaccinated, don't wear a mask or do wear a mask. I'm like, you know what? I don't want you to wear a mask. I want everyone to take their masks off and let's get out there. And you know what? If they're not vaccinated and they catch it, if it's not a deadly virus, then we got nothing to worry about. But you can't keep playing this game forever. No. I mean, do you know who wants this to continue forever? Amazon and Walmart.
Oh, yeah. And exactly.
Millions out of it.
These people are making a ton of money. And that's, again, you go back to, yep. And so who is Fauci talking to? Mark Zuckerberg, right? I mean, and they conspired to trash the reputations and destroy people and get doctors fired. I mean, we had a doctor who used to talk on our show sometime, and for a while, he quit doing it because it was affecting his practice, right? And they were trying to censor him, and his partners were saying, you know, we can't have this. And it works the way they censor people. Like I said, YouTube, it's fortunately we're banned anyway, so they can't ban us right now for talking about the vaccine. But it's ridiculous and it's ludicrous that the media is now saying, well, we didn't invest. We're not, I mean, they're not asking questions. Why is there this massive spike in the vaccines? You know, if Trump were still in power and Trump were saying everybody better get a vaccine, there'd be all kinds of investigations going on into it.
Oh, but, absolutely. And the thing I can't understand, I wanted to ask him, but couldn't really get in, is, you know, they had six females, I think, that had a really bad reaction to Johnson & Johnson, and they shut it down for like a week to 10 days. You know, to me, what about these other numbers? Like you were saying, you know, thousands of people have died, after taking this vaccine. And of course, you can't trust those numbers either because it is voluntary and stuff. The bottom line is we all are seeking the truth. And no one's giving it to us.
Right, right.
And we can't trust anybody. I mean, no. So what do you do?
And I think you're right. Not only do not trust the government, but I think, and I'm just texting Tate Thomas, just, you know, our producer. I'm just texting Tom Tancredo. We're trying to get Tom Tancredo on to talk about his great column, too. I just texted him to try calling us. I think that it's not just that. I think you can't trust the media because of, you know, I mean, any of it. I mean, and here's the thing. You know, Chuck and I like to say truth straight up. And the reason I guess I would argue you can trust us is we let you know where we're coming from. And you can go ahead and say, no, you are crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists. Okay, that's okay. Then don't trust me. But there's organizations that pretend that they're the ones who are going to be investigating this and who pretend that they're the ones that we can trust. That's, and people don't anymore, I don't think.
Right. I don't care what they come out with at this point. I'm not going to believe them.
Right.
You know, it's like the same person coming back and lying to you and over again. Hey, can I borrow $10? I'll pay you back. And they never pay you back. At some point, you just got to cut the string, you know, and say, I can't trust you. And there's no one we can trust.
Right. Right. Charlene is saying she never heard of any famous people dying from COVID except Herman Cain, and he actually died from cancer. Well, I mean, and that's the thing, Charlene, that there were people, and there have been some famous people who have died, but it goes back to the point that Michael Tom made where they died with the COVID virus. I mean, maybe they died in a motorcycle accident or something, or maybe they died because there was an underlying health issue or several underlying health issues. And his point is well taken. It's not a deadly virus, but it worked extremely well. And I think, Mark, you hit it. That's a very good way to say it is, who says there has to be just one conspiracy? I mean, there could be several conspiracies all working together.
Taking advantage of the situation. And it may be that this virus, like the flu, it could be just like every year, you know, why do they have old people take flu shots? You know, as I went to my doctor when I was younger, he never mentioned a flu shot to me.
Right.
And all of a sudden I started getting up my age and he goes, hey, are you taking your yearly flu shot? And I'm like, why is it? He goes, well, I hate to tell you this, but you're getting old. You know, so it could be that all, and we won't know for years. And again, we can't trust what they're telling us.
No.
Is that if this is basically the same as an average or just a little bit worse than the average flu, people do die from the flu, but it's usually because of other pre-existing conditions that take advantage. You know, the flu kind of takes advantage of those health issues. And you know, this may be, you know, 10 years from now, they might say, you know what, we finally figured it out. It was nothing more than a bad flu.
Right. Well, exactly. Or a more contagious flu. And I think, and here's what you got, I want to warn people to look out for this statistic, because I saw this in the Denver Post. They were saying, oh, the death rate was up 20%. In Colorado last year. Well, here's the thing. They're going to try to make you think that that was COVID, but that's not the case at all. The death rate, now, I don't know. First of all, I'm skeptical, like you say. I don't believe them necessarily anyway, but let's take a look at it. We know that overdose deaths were up massively in Colorado. Oh, yeah. We know that heart attack deaths were way up. We know that cancer deaths were up. All of these things because people were not seeking medical treatment because they were afraid of getting COVID. So to jump to the conclusion that these were COVID deaths is it's completely false. I mean, we know looking at the statistics about the real statistics on COVID deaths that it is not that deadly to the vast majority of people.
And here's the thing that if somebody dies with COVID, the government pays for that.
Yes.
If somebody dies for another reason, they don't get paid.
Right.
So
right.
Is there an advantage? I mean, I hate to say this, but there's an advantage to say, well, that person died with COVID. Don't mind the bullet hole, and things like that. So we're never going to get to the true numbers. And again, that's my problem as a retired detective. I want the facts. I want to be able to make a decision based on facts. But at this point, I'm not going to get the facts. I'm getting a whole bunch of garbage. And that's why I've kind of just given up the ghost and say, we need to just go back to normal at this point right now. Stop all this nonsense. Open all these shops up. They've ruined. And here's the thing. And I kind of was leading to this because I think there's other groups that are taking advantage of this, like BLM and Antifa and other groups.
Right.
Is you have to prove to the people that the system's broke to be able to fix it the way you want to fix it. So what's the best way is you break it. Well, let me tell you, they broke our system last year. They have totally devastated the United States, which was, they didn't like the fact, the socialists or whatever you want to call them, capitalism was doing well last year and they destroyed it. It wasn't COVID that destroyed it. It was the lockdowns that destroyed it.
It was COVID.
And I just don't see Biden really wanting to get back to true capitalism. He's shutting everything down. We can't drill up in Alaska now, all this other stuff that he's shutting down. So anything that could really boost the economy back, they're trying to keep it down.
Exactly. Hey, and let me, you guys, while we're waiting to see if we can get Tom Tancredo, I texted him to call Thomas, maybe try calling one of his other, both of those phone numbers too. Meanwhile, if anyone wants to call into us, 888-627-6008, you can weigh in, 888-627-6008. If you're listening on Zoom, just go ahead, like Charlene does, raise your hand, or if you just go ahead and turn on your microphone and you can just talk too. Sandra is mentioning back to the death toll. They had cancer patients not allowed to see their physicians because of this damn BS pandemic. And Mark, I think you're right. The facts are not there. You don't know who to trust. The Biden administration is continuing to keep things locked down, as is Governor Polis, by continuing to give out money, right? I mean, the unemployment numbers came out. They're not good. Inflation looks bad. All the prices, I mean, when gas goes up, prices go up for everything. Corn prices are going up. Corn is used in everything. Prices are going to go up there. Meanwhile, they're still paying.
Let me tell you one thing, if I could interrupt, because this is something I happen to know about, is when I talk about multiple conspiracies, there are people that are taking advantage, like Amazon and Walmart, JBS, who just got hit, with this ransomware. I have no sympathy for them. And here's the reason why. They have taken complete advantage of this whole COVID business. You know that if you go look at the price of beef, it's way up in the stock or in the supermarket. Don't go to your local rancher and give them a hard time. They're actually getting less for their cows. And I know this because I have cattle and I'm right in the process of trying to sell some of my cattle. Cattle prices are way down, but they're real high in the supermarket. Well, what's between the cattle rancher and the supermarket? It's the packers. It's JBS. They're almost doubling their money on each cow. So they are taking advantage, and that should be criminal, for someone to take advantage of this situation.
Well, and as you said, and then they get hacked. I mean, and I think we're going to see more of that too. And again, it's whoever is doing the hacking, and they look at, I believe, at the Biden administration, and they see, and I would just submit this, the Biden administration, I think, wants to keep America broken. They want to keep the systems broken. They want people to turn and rely more on the government. And again, Facebook today just banned Trump for another 2 years, conveniently till past the 2022. Like that's going to, I mean, anybody who raises any kind of question, and I think it's only going to get worse, the censorship. I think that they now are fearless. They've got a massive numbers of following and people following them anyway. And I think the censorship that we're seeing, it's just going to get worse and worse. But I think on this, Michael Tao is right. It becomes so important, for people like our listeners and people who listen to this show and call into the show and appear on the show to keep standing up and saying, I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to quit asking questions. And I'm not going to believe your nonsense.
right? People have the right. I used to joke about this. The Constitution gives you the right to lie. And you have the right. You should have the form. It should all be about the conversation, not so much the subject matter, you know, that we can talk about. I should be able to say anything stupid I want. And then everybody who's watching can say, man, that guy's a complete moron. You know, we
and I'm not going to watch him anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. We should be able to disseminate what we agree with and what we don't. And one example is obviously the whole scandal or scam that this started from a lab in Wuhan. You know, well, we should be able to have the right to say whether I think that's bogus or not. And doctors or whoever has a forum should be able to talk. But when you have idiots like Facebook and other groups that are saying, we're the fact checkers. We're the ones who are highly liberal, and we're going to tell you that, you know, saying that kids don't need to wear masks or whatever, you know, that's just wrong. We've all been about freedom of speech, and I know there's consequences to what you say, but your consequences are other people saying you're stupid. You know, well, I'm not going to listen, you know.
Like Facebook or YouTube banning us. I mean, here is my thing. And they, you know, Steve Crowder, Louder with Crowder, was just back on after several weeks of being banned and demonetized. I think the thing is, it's not even like we're something that people are, you know, like Chuck and I were joking the other day, forced to watch. If the only reason somebody's watching our show on YouTube is they clicked on it, right? That's a total choice. No one's being forced. So anyone who clicks on it, it's like picking up, when I was a kid, my grandma used to read the National Enquirer, and, you know, there'd be a story about the face of Jesus appearing on a toaster, and she believed that, right? And then she would watch wrestling, and she believed that was real. But she chose to read it. And why, you know what I mean? I'm able to argue with her, but that's okay. I mean, it's so if people that think we're crazy and they want to watch us, they should be able to. I mean, who
on earth? Wait a minute. If we watch wrestling right now, if we watch WWE, which I don't do they have a little thing down at the bottom saying this is not real? They don't. Something that they obviously know is bogus. Nobody tries to fact check, you know, WWE, but yet if somebody tries to say something, and the thing that I like is whenever people say, you know, here's what I think and here's the reason why and here's the facts to support that. And again, someone put on the chat, I love that, just the facts. I used to love watching Dragnet, because that, to me, that's what it's all about. Make your theory, you know, make your point, and then give me the facts behind it to back it up. And then let me decide. But if you're, you know, but people have the right, or should have the right, to have conversations. And then people should listen to those conversations and then determine whether you believe them or not. And that's where we're kind of falling apart.
Exactly.
Is you've got one group that's saying, we're going to be the fact checkers and we're going to tell you what the truth is. And that, I don't like that at all.
No. Hey, listen, we do have Tom Tancredo, who has, so we're going to go to Tom. Hey, Tom, he has a great column up in America's Citizen Press. Tom, we're not going to have as much time. We'll have you back on too. I think I might have gotten this number snafu. But hey, Tom, glad you are here finally. Thank you for your time today. What? Is he there? No, he's not.
Goes right into something else on my phone, so I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No worries. No worries. I wanted to talk to you real quick. I mean, you wrote a great column in America's Citizen Press asking, you know, how do these people sleep at night? Hey, and I want to let you know, I'm co-hosting, I think you met him before at Peter Boyle's studio, with Mark Poff, the former El Paso County Sheriff's investigator who has done a lot of the legwork trying to get to the truth in the Tom Clements case. But he's guest hosting.
I recall, yes.
Yes. So talk a little bit about that.
But I know I've heard him several times on the radio and on this issue.
All right, there you go. So give folks real quick the gist of your column, because I think it is an important one. And we've been talking about, you know, the fact that they try to prevent the truth from coming out. And boy, they've tried to stamp you out on this whole illegal immigration and criminal aliens issue for a while now.
Sure. Well, it comes to mind because of the fact that we've tried so many times. I tried in Congress, and I tried outside of Congress to get somebody to pay attention to this issue from the standpoint, when I say this issue, I mean the number of innocent Americans who have been killed by people who are here illegally, and it's in the thousands. And yet no one seems to care. I mean, there's so much care and concern about somebody, you know, that may have a what do they call it? Microaggression. Right? You can go to jail for somebody because you have microaggressed someone, but not because. And the thing is this: I keep thinking about it, and I mentioned this in the article. Picture this. Put it in these terms to make it simple and understandable for everybody. You live in a city, let's say, and the mayor happens to be some whack job who believes that everybody we have way too many people in prison in America who shouldn't be there, that they've all been railroaded or because they're poor and for whatever reason, they shouldn't be in prison. And so he says, look, or she says, look, I'm just as a message to everybody out there in prison. If you escape or if you have escaped and you are presently fleeing from the authorities, get to my city somehow and we'll protect you. We will make sure that no one turns you in to the authorities. We will give you sanctuary. Well, okay. So he makes that statement and naturally people escape and or have escaped and flock to his city. And then what happens? Well, they do not give up their prior lives and their attitudes and their unfortunate behavior. And so people get raped, murdered, robbed. All sorts of mayhem occurs as a result of having all these people who are criminals come and stay in your city because you've given them sanctuary. Now, should that mayor, is that mayor culpable? Should he face something in a legal standpoint, because he has, in fact, aided and abetted, he has enabled people to come and do terrible things to his constituents, So, you know, from my point of view, yes, you should be sued. At least you should be able to have to face a civil penalty for something like that.
I would compare to this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that most people would go, well, sure, right? Yeah. Most people, I think, would say, yeah, that guy is nuts. Bringing in all these people into his city and having them commit crimes, yes, he's responsible. Well, what the hell is the difference between that mayor and the president of the United States today, and or anybody who has voted for sanctuary cities, anybody who has allowed these people to come in and commit these murders? They are culpable from my point of view. They should be held criminally and at least civilly responsible. I would say criminally too. I say it's aiding and abetting. That's a criminal charge. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and you mentioned a case back in 2008 in Aurora that I covered, where a 3-year-old little boy, Martin Kudlis, was at the Baskin Robbins store. And that was a Baskin Robbins store that I used to go to with my daughter at the time. He was in the car with his mom, or in the store with his mom, getting ice cream. Francisco Hernandez, a drunk driving illegal alien who had been previously arrested dozens of times, basically crashed into a pickup, killed the two women in the pickup, sent their car careening into the Baskin Robbins, and killed this little boy. As I believe it was a horrific death too. I mean, it was glass and things like that. And yet, you know, like you said, he'd been arrested 16 times before. And I agree with you. The people who created the policies that arrested him and let him go, I think are every bit as responsible. If I were a bar owner, right, and I served somebody who was horrifically drunk and then I handed him the car keys and helped him to the car, I could be sued for that. I think you're absolutely right, Tom.
Well, I could get sued for it not shoveling my walks in the wintertime. Yeah. I mean, right. Creating a situation that's dangerous and people get and fall and I get sued. I mean, how much more dangerous a situation is created than your slippery sidewalk by someone who invites illegal aliens into this country and, or who once they become identified to them, they've DUI, they've robbed somebody, they've murdered, whatever. You don't turn them over to ICE. You protect them. You are, why, what's the difference of whether you're hiding them in your house?
Exactly.
And the police finally come and go, hey, you've been hiding this murderer in your house. You say, what? No, you can't come in, and they have a war, but they do, and they find them. Don't you go to jail. I mean, at least, it seems to me that something should happen. And yes, the Kudlitzes, I became, unfortunately, I mean, I hate it. It's just like all the people, the wonderful families my wife and I met, who lost a loved one in one of the wars, you know, and I hated the fact that I had to become aware of them this way. I mean, some of the most wonderful people, we love them. To this day, we go out with them and have dinner and stuff. And I always say, geez, you're such wonderful people. I just wish I never had to meet you, you know? Uh-huh. And it's the same thing with the Kudlitzes. They're wonderful people. They themselves are immigrants. He ended up making a commercial for me, Mr. Kudlitz, for this very issue. So yeah, I, you know, and I think of that little kid. I just keep that picture is in my mind a lot. And every time this, I see something else happen. I mean, this woman gets hit up here right by me. She right by our house. She's a bicyclist, and she gets hit. It's by a person. No one will tell us the truth, but he's a Hispanic person who has no driver's license, no insurance, was drunk and was on drugs, hit her at 40 miles an hour, killed her. Yeah. Right up here on Indiana, and on Alameda, and I don't know, but because you can't find out now, but they won't even ask the person.
It's not even a factor. Well, Mark, you must have encountered some of this when you were working as a detective and an investigator.
Absolutely, and it's very frustrating, because a lot of times there's a lot of things you can't do. We used to always try to make sure that we seized their car, so at least took the car away from them, and then say, you got to come down to the impound and prove the car is yours, because a lot of time illegal aliens are driving cars that aren't theirs. But you know what I find most shocking about this, and I think it's kind of the theme behind Tom's article, is the most shocking thing about this is it's not shocking anymore. It's not unique. It happens all the time, and no one seems to be outraged by it. And I think, Tom, is that kind of what you're getting at, is the point that this is happening all the time over and over again?
We get outraged by so many other things that are so much less significant, much less important. They drive people to the streets, right? Burn down buildings and turn over police cars and assassinate cops and all kinds of things, because they are affronted by something that happened. Maybe somebody got killed, maybe, but I mean, frankly, in terms of the numbers, it's not even close.
And I'm
talking about innocent Americans who have been jeopardized. I'm talking about people like this little Kudlitz boy and literally thousands of others who have never committed any crime in their life. The only thing they did when they were in the wrong place at the wrong time or whatever, you know, as opposed to criminals who end up being killed, maybe unjustly. I mean, you know, we go through that whole George Floyd thing, but the guy was a criminal.
Crime
in the meantime.
And it's only going to get worse. I mean, look what's going on in the border now, right? I mean, these are, you looked at the, you know, I think you talked about some of the numbers of crimes being committed in this column at America's Citizen Press. I mean, it's only going to get worse, I think.
Oh, of course it is. I mean, it's what he has done, what Biden has done, is say he's the mayor of America, and he says, come to my city, and they come, and many of them are, you know, not criminal, they don't have criminal intent, but they come. But thousands and thousands come who are indeed criminals, and find the best way in now is through the front door, because they've been invited in.
Yeah.
And and what they do to the people behind them. I mean, what these people who come in, the cartels that are controlling this process on the border, do you think they're sending in here, you know, model citizens?
No.
And what they do to the people that they're bringing in, the little kids that they sexually molest,
trafficking,
the rape trees, all that stuff, you know, again, nobody seems to care. And that is just, it's just so incredible. It drives me nuts.
Listen, we gotta let you go now. I recommend everybody read the article at America's Citizen Press. Go there anyway. They're one of our sponsors, AmericasCitizenPress.com. Hey, Tom, thank you for coming on. We appreciate your time. We'll get you back again soon.
Nice to talk to you.
You get some All right, you got some great comments there. All right, thank you, Tom. Hey, Mark, so the final minutes then, as I mentioned, you're going to be filling in for Chuck and I. We have, Rev has a golf tournament. And so Mark is, graciously agreed to fill in for us on Monday. Real quick, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, what I'm going to talk about is defunding the police. So I'm going to, as a retired detective, I'm going to talk all about defunding the police. I'm going to talk a little bit about BLM. I am going to have John St. Augustine here with me on Monday. Wow. And we're going to talk about some use of force issues. The woman or the cop that thought she was tasering someone and actually shot him. So we're going to have all kinds of cool stuff on Monday. We're going to be talking all about law enforcement.
All right, that's cool. And one of the things, that's one of the things that you want to talk about a lot. I mean, Mark, I think we'll have him fill in for us. And it's going to be, so if you know somebody who's in law enforcement, it's going to be sort of like a pro law enforcement hour. And Sandra's saying, hey, another great show. Looking forward to listening to Mark's show. Mark, if you replace us, the people like Jack and Julie, we're not listening to you anymore.
I'm taking over.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. Again, you know, we're on YouTube jail, so I will post this up on Rumble as soon as we can, and then I also will link it to the chuckandjulie.com website. Everybody have a great Party Friday. Mark, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
All right, thank you. Have fun.